Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Jubilant FoodWorks Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Apar Saraswat from Jubilant FoodWorks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Rayo. Welcome to Jubilant FoodWorks Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call for investors and analysts. We are joined today by senior members of the management team, including our Chairman, Mr. Shyam Bhartia, our Co-Chairman, Mr. Hari Bhartia, our CEO and MD, Mr. Sameer Khetarpal, our Turkey Business CEO, Mr. Aslan Saranga, and our CFO, Ms. Suman Hegde. We will commence with key thoughts from the Chairman, followed by remarks from CEO and MD. After the opening remarks, the forum will be open for Q&A session. A cautionary note before we move ahead: some of the statements made on today's call would be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from such statements. We will also host the replay and transcript of the call on the company's website under the Investor Relations section. I would now like to invite Mr. Hari Bhartia to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Apar. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on our Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call. We are happy to share that our overall performance in the third quarter of FY26 was strong, highlighted by 13.3% growth in revenue and a solid 20% rise in reported EBITDA. Our business in India maintained its double-digit year-on-year growth, and the EBITDA margin improved by 109 basis points compared to the same period last year. Domino's India achieved positive LFL growth for the eighth quarter in a row. Popeyes also saw an impressive double-digit LFL growth, indicating strong brand acceptance and high customer repeats. The Turkey business continued to give positive results. It gives us immense pleasure to share with you that, along with strong revenue growth and PAT, the business is generating steady cash flows, and over the last couple of quarters have been paying dividends to service JFL's acquisition debt obligations. Our international business in Sri Lanka and Bangladesh also reported impressive top-line growth and improvement in bottom line. We carried on our network expansion by adding 114 stores during the quarter across brands and markets. We now operate close to 3,600 stores, out of which approximately 2,530 stores are in India. On the menu innovation front, we are really excited with the pace of innovation and the new product positionings being offered to our customers across our brands. The customer response to the new products over the last 12 months has been very encouraging. Going forward, we remain focused on delivering value to our customers. This has been possible because of the strong foundation that we have built with technology, supply chain, delivery capability, and most importantly, our people. Our focus behind the same will remain relentless, and these are key to our long-term success. With that, now I invite Sameer to provide you with further insights into our Quarter 3 FY26 performance.
Thank you, Mr. Bhartia, and good evening to everyone. Q3 FY26 was a proof point quarter for us. Strategy is working. Our technology and investments in AI are delivering impact, and execution was rock solid. Q3 is our peak quarter and the ultimate stress test for the organization across operations, supply chain, technology, and other functions. Our store teams and delivery riders handled exceptionally high order volume with speed and consistency, demonstrating operational discipline at scale. I'm extremely proud and thankful for the team's performance. Turning to financial performance, during the quarter, we reported consolidated revenue of rupees 24.4 billion, representing a growth of 13.3% year-on-year. Importantly, all our business segments, both domestic and international, contributed to top-line growth. India revenue stood at $18 billion, growing at 11.8% YOY. Domino's India delivered a like-for-like growth of 5% on a strong base of 12.5% like-for-like. Growth in the same quarter, like-for-like, which was the growth in the same quarter last year. Revenue grew 10.7% year-on-year for Domino's, driven by healthy order growth of 10%. During the quarter, we undertook calibrated price increases on select products to strengthen margins and incentivize favorable mix movements. Our recent new product launches, including Sourdough Pizzas and Cheese Lava Pull Apart, have seen an overwhelming response and have scaled rapidly in a short period. Also, these products are accretive to gross margin. Domino's in India added approximately 200 new stores over the first 9 months of the fiscal year and 75 stores in Q3 alone. This is the highest-ever store expansion by Domino's in India in the first 9 months of the year. Popeyes continued its strong momentum, delivering high double-digit LFL growth for the second consecutive quarter. We rolled out the range of 7 Flavor Burst burgers. We topped it up with a 15-piece chicken bucket that has also received an excellent response. Popeyes store expansion expanded to 73 stores, adding 5 stores in the quarter. We are now increasingly confident about Popeyes emerging as a powerful new growth vector for the company. There are handsome gains on the margin front. Gross margin in India business delivered a sequential expansion of 52 basis points to 74.9%, translating into an 80 basis point improvement over the last 6 months. The improvement has been achieved despite persistent inflation in dairy, oil, and flour. Supported by gross margin expansion and productivity-led efficiencies, reported EBITDA margins improved by 110 basis points year-on-year and to 20.5%. On a pre-Ind AS basis, EBITDA margin expanded by around 90 basis points year-on-year and 120 basis points sequentially. Our technology and AI initiatives continue to translate into tangible outcomes. Monthly transacting users on our apps grew over 20% year-on-year in each quarter of FY 2026. And the number of active customers using post-order page, active clients, sorry, using post-order page advertising crossed 10 in the quarter. Standalone profit after tax continued from continuing operations before exceptional items grew 27% year-on-year, and PAT margin expanded by 54 basis points. Turning to our international business, Turkey continued to deliver ahead of our plans. The business has consistently delivered double-digit year-on-year growth while maintaining strong PAT margins. We are pleased to share that Turkey is now servicing its acquisition-related debt entirely through internal cash flows. During the quarter, the business added 33 new stores, including 15 Domino's and 18 coffee stores. Sri Lanka and Bangladesh also delivered high double-digit growth during the quarter, and both countries have positive growth and margin expansion trajectory. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA grew 20% year-on-year, with EBITDA margin expanding by 110 basis points. Consolidated PAT from continuing operations before exceptional items grew 94%, with PAT margin expanding 167 basis points year-on-year. In summary, Q3 FY 2026 delivered strong growth across brands, disciplined execution, and expanding profitability. Our growth vectors are clear, our execution strategy is working, and we are deploying capital with discipline while investing ahead to build a large 5,000 plus store business. We are confident that our continued investments in technology, supply chain, and store expansion will drive durable long-term value for shareholders. I now request the moderator to commence the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Vivek M. from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Sameer and team. Two questions from my side. First, on the LFL number of 5%, what is your outlook? Because there was a bit of a festive season shift in this quarter. Where do you see this number, let's say, through the course of 2026? Because in your opening remarks, you also mentioned about the base, and that is going to stay stiff for the rest of the year, this calendar. So how should we think about this?
Yeah, I think the way we are building and shaping the entire standalone business is the following. Domino's should grow at 5 to 7% like-for-like growth. Overall top line should grow for standalone around 15%, and we should get to closer to 15% pre-Ind AS margin, right? Now, that's kind of how the math like stacks up for me. And that's what we are like internally always gunning for. And therefore, to answer your question, I don't see any headwinds in terms of building a 5 to 7% like-for-like growth business.
Interesting. So you do not think that this slips further down as we go forward through the course of the year? Because there has been this fear that, you know, now that the base is reasonably high, this will actually keep slipping, you know, down as we go forward.
Yeah, so I think if you look at, I think just to remind all the analysts and investors, we are now lapping in March, we will complete 2 years of free delivery, right? So I think I just want to clear that notion. So we already lapped up high basis. And if you look at FY 2025, standalone basis, we grew 14.3%. That's when we started the free delivery. In the current year, 9 month growth rate is 15.1%. So we are already growing on a large base higher than the previous year. So I am less worried on that particular piece. I think our businesses continue to do well. In fact, internally we have started tracking through AC Nielsen market share gains, right? So our market share. We also gained market share, not only within pizza, but across the relevant segment from bowls to chicken to burgers. So I think there is huge headroom to grow. One quarter here on there, I will skip that, but overall 5 to 7%, I don't see that there is a challenge, and our business is geared for that.
Got it, Sameer. Second question is on, you know, if you go in, back in the history, as well as, you know, the conventional wisdom will say that as LFL accelerates, margins typically expand, and reverse has also been true in the past. This time around, obviously, with the decelerating LFL, your margins expanded quite smartly. Can you just give your views on anything related to the quarter? We can, of course, see the numbers. And how do you think about the outlook? Specifically for F27, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll let Suman give any additional color, but it's important to note that I think this was a constant question that, hey, you are having a LFL of 10 to 12% and margins are not rising, right? So we were investing in for growth. We got the customer. We know customers repeat once we acquire them. And there is always an opportunity to take calibrated price increases, but equally work on the efficiency. So we worked on both the fronts. And if you recall, when we did free delivery, we launched Big Pizza next year. And as a result, both were dilutive. But this year, we've come back and launched Cheese Lava Pull-Apart, Sourdough Pizza. We've taken calibrated price increases. So we have put in more levers to improve our gross margin and tightened our cost structures to get more juice from our EBITDA. So I think I am actually less worried on margins, Vivek. There is always more room that I see in my organization. Growth is something that we have to always be paranoid about because we are building a 5,000 store network business and not just a 3,000 store network business. So, any color on this year?
I think we are on track, and Vivek, Sameer has answered the question. But if you look at it also in terms of the basis, right? So, one, of course, the constant conversation should have happened on gross margin. If you see over the last couple of quarters sequentially, and we have said that out in the markets as well, right? That there were investment made in FY25 behind the product portfolio to ensure that we give back value to customers. And as we bring in new mixes on our innovation, we will see the attractiveness of those mixes playing out, which is happening in case of the new launches we've had in terms of sourdough or be it the cheese lava pullout that has now got launched. So that is, of course, reflecting in the margin improvement at a gross margin level. And then if you look at the other expenses, while they have grown, right, if you look at personal expenses or manufacturing, they are, however, growing behind the growth that the business is seeing. So the business is seeing about 12% growth approximately. The other expenses are not growing in tandem, right, which is the way it should be. And we still believe there is more optimization we can do. So all in all, that's how the margin profile is playing out. Operating leverage, of course, kicking in. And the margin, gross margin improvement profile that we're driving, which we believe will sustain going forward as well, with the kind of growth aspirations that we have and which Sameer has called out.
Got it. Thank you on that. And if I can, add one more, which is, when we look at, let's say, the two food delivery, platforms, Swiggy as well as Zomato, both of them have quick commerce investments, and both of them in some ways are using food delivery as a, so to speak, cash cow business. They have introduced platform fees, high delivery fees. How do you benchmark yourself? Do you take a clue from what they are doing, and therefore do you plan your strategies? And what are your thoughts on your own delivery fees one way or the other? Can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah. So I think let's look at our strategic objective, right? And so we want our own assets to grow the fastest, be the channel where we really get the customer love, and the most immersive and financially the best reason for customers to shop. So these tenets will continue to guide our investments and our pricing decisions for customers. Right? So I do agree that in the last quarter or so, aggregators have brought down their minimum order value to 99 rupees. And in some places, we had to go back and correct and match that, right, to not lose market share. So we've done that. They are a platform, and therefore they can charge a platform fees or platform commission, etc. We are selling, we're in the business of selling, shopping, and giving an outstanding experience of pizzas. So for us, at least my own take is the things like the platform fees, etc. are not relevant. Having said that, that's an option that exists, and we can, if need be, we can again switch on that button at midnight tomorrow and it will be available on stores. That lever stays for us. I want to remind everyone that we are building a 5,000 store business that is most penetrated, and I believe these are actually barriers to acquiring customers.
Got it, Sameer. Always like and respect your focus on growth. Thank you, and wishing you and your team all the best.
Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you. The next question is from Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good performance. Just a couple of clarifications. The first one, I know that it was discussed in the past as well, but request for a refresh view, if any, which is essentially the growth divergence, continuing growth divergence between dine-in and delivery. Now, the context which, I just want some more color maybe in this call would be, let's say, what percentage of, let's say, consumers overlap between delivery and dining? What I mean is that, is it an either-or or is it an addition? The reason I'm asking because while you are outperforming overall and delivery continues to grow, and it's more than,
Hello, sorry. Manoj, your voice is actually cracking up and breaking. We're missing a few words in between.
Okay. Is it better now? I'm just very close to the mic.
Breaking up.
Manoj,
okay, I'll just give one try and I'll confirm another connection.
Yes, please.
Okay. The question is actually on the growth divergence between dine-in and delivery.
Sorry to interrupt, Manoj, but we can't really hear you. Request you to maybe rejoin the call. Thank you. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Nihal Mahesh Jam from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, Sameer, and congratulations on the performance. I have three questions. Just starting off again on the margin bit. On the gross margin side, you mentioned about obviously that marginal price hikes along with new product launches, that were obviously one of the key drivers of gross margin improvement. Just moving below, what have been the incremental levers which has led to an operating leverage? We see that employee expenses have also gone down, and does the labor code in any way, you know, rehash our employee expense growth going forward? That was the first question.
So I think on gross margin, no more flavor to add on that, Nihal. So like we mentioned, predominantly driven by mix improvement that we have seen, led by further efficiencies that we've brought in. We have again recalibrated our pricing to look at where we can get the most value without, of course, impacting growth in any way. So that's really driven the gross margin trajectory, which we believe will also go on as we get into the future. On operating leverage, on personal expenses, you know, honestly, if you look at increments and what the numbers are, that's the kind of increase you would see. So I think nothing out of the ordinary out there. From a labor code impact perspective, we have taken, of course, the one-time exception. Going forward, yes, there will be some impact that will come into the cost line. We anticipate as of now, while, you know, there's no definitiveness on it because everybody is looking at restructuring their wages and, you know, what will the definitions actually roll out when the implementation happens in April. But maybe about 10 to 15 bps is the impact that we see at an overall level, at an outer limit. But we, of course, continue to look at open. So nothing material that I want to call out.
Also, if you see, we've been very disciplined in headcount increase. We've also deployed technology and AI we're beginning to use to drive efficiencies in our corporate G&A, and that has given the leverage. And I think we've been super disciplined in the last 2 years in where to deploy the technology, so that leverage is coming in.
Got that. Sameer, the second question is, you mentioned for the first time about this AC Nielsen data and also tracking the growth for Domino's versus other categories like, say, burgers. Now, just one question that, you know, how do you, in a way, fight the lethargy that may come with the category of pizza itself, and how do you sort of compete with other categories, whereas you are a single category brand and you're sort of competing with aggregators? So what is the insights or incremental steps that you are taking to sort of gain market share from the other categories, knowing the fact that you only work in one subcategory?
Yeah, no, I think and that is the fundamental job, right? With almost nearly 2/3 of the market share in the category, right? The job for us is to grow penetration. And Nihal, it is actually not pizza versus burgers or taking. So India is a $60 billion food services market. So our competition is bhatura chana, dosa, idli, biryani. That is what India consumes. And the frequency of pizza is 3 in a year, and burger will be probably the same. So the idea is to not like bring burger from 3 to 2 and pizza from 3 to 4, but the idea is to out of 200 occasions that Indian is consuming Indian food, get one additional share of pizza. So that is the job to be done, and therefore you will see on the premium end we are launching Sardo pizza because there are premium users who are doing it. On the lower end, we have a 49, 59, 69, 79 pizza that competes with idli and dosa that India consumes every day. So that is our endeavor, and that is the task of our marketing team, to come up with products that actually replaces, whether it's a Gen Z, chai wo choti bhook hai, where a samosa comes in, bring pizza into the mix.
Got that. Just quick final question, Suman. You could give the capex number you're targeting for this year and the years ahead, given that you said you're optimizing on supply chain, already done with that.
So I think this question comes up all the time, Nihal, but the fact is supply chain, I think I mentioned in the last quarter's call as well. Our overall CapEx spends in the last couple of years have been in the range of anywhere between 700 to 850 crores. Yes, the supply chain CapExes have peaked, but we do not expect a significant movement downwards on the CapEx bill because we are, of course, recalibrating. We've called out saying we want to open 1,000 stores in the next 3 years, right? Which does mean that the store CapExes will kick in. We continue to invest heavily behind technology because we do believe that that will not only drive growth but also efficiencies for the business from the cost and margin profile perspective. These will have, of course, faster paybacks and ROI compared to a supply chain investment, so we should see the return on capital employed on this going up, but not a significant movement on the overall CapEx spend. Of course, as we close the year in the final quarter, as we always do, we'll give a rough guidance on what we believe our CapEx budget for the subsequent financial year will be.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Ashish Kanodia from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So Samir, the first question was on the LFL. So if I look at, you know, the last 8 quarters performance, the positive LFL was, you know, coming predominantly because of all the strategic intervention you have taken in terms of product innovation, free delivery, etc. Now, if I look at this quarter call commentary, by other QSR players, there seems to be some, you know, uptick in demand. We don't know whether that flows through or not, but there is definitely some uptick in demand. So in that context, and I think in one of the earnings call you called out that as well, that if the industry grows, start to improve, you know, there will be an upside risk. So looking ahead, do you see that if the industry starts to improve or start to see positive SSG overall, there is an upside risk to this 5% to 7% LFL which we have discussed?
I think, of course, that's why we have a 5% to 7%. And I think the government has done a lot on consumption. I don't have a market view. I can talk about what we are doing, right? We are penetrating into schools, colleges, airports, railway stations at a pace that we have never done before. We are opening stores with very high quality throughput in year one with a lower capex. There is a lot of work that has gone into it. Our site selection is totally AI enabled now, and we have a list of 1,000 stores. So I do see that the brand is very strong. Our mature store ADS has been the highest ever in the last quarter. And we are very confident about our growth strategy, whether coming from both LFL and also organic expansion in white spaces. So that doesn't worry me. India is a very large opportunity and a multi-decadal opportunity, and we are finding large pockets of growth.
Sorry, so maybe I'm just going to hop on this one. See, last quarter, let's assume if the industry, while listed there wise, you know, if the SSG was -3, -4%, and you have still delivered 5% LFL, if hypothetically you see, industry QSR space starts to grow at, say, 2%, 3% SSG, do you see, you know, this instead of 5 to 7%, this goes maybe to 8, 9%?
It should happen. I think empirically I would agree with you, right? So that we always outperformed in the last 8 or 9 quarters, if you see. In fact, even before that, and I've always been gone on record and say, we should be, because of our execution ability, self-help initiatives, and the confidence in the brand, we should always be +3-4% versus the rest of the pack. And I say it with all humility because the brand is that powerful.
Sure, thank you. The next question was on Popeyes. We have seen store growth slightly slower, but definitely SSG being very strong in the last 2 quarters. How should we think about Popeyes over the next 18 months in terms of both store expansion and also if you can throw some color in terms of gross margin as well as on store level EBITDA margins, how it is trending now?
So firstly, the SSG for Popeyes has been positive double digit for 3 quarters in a row, right? And the last quarter being the highest ever, right? And very strong growth numbers that I see. As a result, we are far more confident about Popeyes being able to scale and be the real speedboat for growth in our portfolio, right? That's kind of overarching, and therefore coming back to your question. So what are we at a 5,000 feet optimizing for? at a 5,000 feet, we are optimizing for average daily sales that is equal to industry and gross margins that are at industry. Once we do that, then we know that the model really works. There is customer adoption at a price that we are willing to command in the market as a challenger brand. And second is, we are able to bring the sourcing capabilities and technology of Jubilant to have the right gross margin. Once we do that, then we know how to open 300 stores in India, right? So that's kind of the equation over here. We have one or two pieces to crack, right? And but I would say bulk of work, 70 to 80%, has been done. We've seen highest ever ADSs in the last quarter. Gross margins have improved. Restaurant profitability has improved. And we are well on track. And in about 100 stores, we will start disclosing the numbers to all of you. And then we can scale faster from there. But at no point I want to make this as a land grab, right? Where we are opening stores and then we have to shut down 1 year later. So very confident about this. We'll stay invested in this piece. In fact, in Bangalore this quarter, we launched our first advertising campaign, even just with 70 stores. No other QSR has done it with a celebrity film star as our lead anchor over there.
Sumit, and just last question to Suman was on the Turkey part of the business. If you can share how much of the total dividend has been paid by DP Eurasia, and also what is the total debt outstanding pertaining to the acquisition?
So the debt outstanding, the debt we took on account of the acquisition, about 110 million euros in our Netherlands entity, Ashish, and that, of course, the repayment schedule has not come up. So, and we will look at what we do with that repayment. Most likely, of course, the way Turkey is generating cash flow, we will look at funding some of that also from the Turkey cash flows. Having said that, and hence right now the obligation and debt are only with respect to the interest. 100% of the interest obligations are being paid by the Turkey business now since the last three quarters. So there's no remittance of funds or cash flow from the India business on account of the acquisition debt that sits in Netherlands.
Sure, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
So hi team, I have only one question or a clarification, which is essentially a request for a refresh of something we should have been discussed in the past. Essentially, the growth divergence between dine-in and delivery. For delivery, brilliant performance continues to grow double digits comfortably for a long time. You have done some interventions in the past to get the dine-in throughput. If you just talk about where we are in the dine-in, let's say, rejuvenation journey, you have done some product pricing actions, etc. So that's one. One subplot which I just want to understand here is, in your experience and your opinion, is this unique consumers? Let's say what I mean is that if a consumer is buying in, let's say if there is a dine-in shop nearby, is a propensity to go and dine out, or is it just an impulse consumer or capturing there? Is there an either or situation, or both are separate consumers? Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think great question, Manoj. I think your analysis is right that delivery continues to be to power ahead our growth, and dine-in and takeaway as two additional channels. We put in a lot of intervention, it has not played out. And that's a fair and accurate representation of our performance. Having said that, firstly, we'll continue to fuel delivery tailwinds. That's world over, that is the fastest channel growing, and we believe we have very strong capabilities over there to delight our customers. Now, coming to dine-in takeaway, we are going back to the drawing board, re-looking at our strategy, what is working, what is not. Few pieces are working. And last quarter, I genuinely believe we should have done slightly better, but there were, but I will not give any excuses. We'll come back and fight hard for that piece of the pie. Coming to what's happening on the new customers, right? So, pre-COVID, the largest acquisition channel for us for new customers was dine-in, and those customers moved to delivery. Post-COVID, and more recently, because of all the investments in app, 20-minute delivery, free delivery, the largest new customer acquisition channel actually is our own app, and dine-in takeaway is lesser. So therefore, in both in terms of absolute and percentage growth, our own asset is the largest and the fastest growing channel. So which augurs well for us. That's what we want. We have a lot of customer data, and we will. Now for dine-in and takeaway, when we acquire customers, they actually, after the first purchase, they move to our online channel. They know that this is a very convenient channel. And therefore, the answer that, or the question that we have to solve for is to build a strong dine-in and takeaway proposition, which is very differentiated and compels the customer to go to the nearby store, which is the most penetrated and the easiest to access in terms of store reach, to go and do a dine-in or a takeaway along with certain occasions. So that piece we are fully on Manoj, and we believe there is some work to be done, but we'll get it. We are not leaving that problem.
So, thank you. Thank you, Samir and team. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from Manish Poddar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Samir. Two bits. First is, let's say, can you help me understand, you know, how much of, let's say, the delivery orders would be happening through our app broadly, and, you know, this monetization of, you know, the ad page on our platform or the app. Now, how big can this be? Because if you look at from a, you know, MAU perspective, your numbers are significantly high. So let's say, how should we think of these two variables? One is, you know, your delivery from your app versus aggregators today versus, let's say, if you can help me understand 12, 18, 24 months back, some bit which you alluded earlier, and the second bit on this ad bit. Thanks.
Okay, no, very good. So I think we don't disclose our share of our own channels versus the aggregators. It does not. I think what we control and we want to grow is our own channel. So I think that continues to grow. I think the momentum is strong and the share is very strong. That's one. The second piece on we started this journey a quarter ago. In fact, this is exactly 4 months ago. We started our first, right after Diwali. We actually got into this and we were experimenting with this particular piece. We are very positively surprised by the engagement and the quality of brands that we've been able to get from Flipkart Minutes to Tata Neu to Amazon Fresh to Apple, right? And there is a lot of interest from this, because again, we have built a very strong tech foundation where we can target by a zip code in India, give more analytics back to the customer. And if you really see, if our average frequency is 3, right, so in a year, then willy-nilly you are getting eyeballs of a product to a new user. And like you said, 15, 16 million monthly active users is a very large consumer base. So at least my own take is, at the right time, I'm not saying in short term, we should get about 1% of our revenues on that channel. We should be able to monetize to that extent. Having said that, we have taken a conscious call to not monetize pre-order or the pre-order journey. Only post-order we are monetizing it. If we open up more assets, there is more efficiency to be, or more revenue to be earned. But at the moment, we are focused only on post-order journey. We want to give an immersive and a friction-free shopping experience and a fast delivery to customers. Once they are on that page, we are actually experimenting a lot. So take for example, if I get a credit card, right, if I get a credit card application, you get an immediate discount on that order funded by the credit card company. So some of these things, we believe we are the only one who can use it, configure it, buy zip code, end-to-end target a customer cohort who is a, we can, Apple can target Android customers and Android can target Apple customers. Some of those things are very unique to us, and we will scale that up, and it's an important area. We know it all of this flows into the bottom line.
Sorry, just if I hear you right, you said 1% of online sales from our platforms will be able to earn, let's say, maybe some period down the line. Is that
Yeah.
is that the right understanding first?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, actually, my own sense is 1% is minimum we should get.
But Sameer, actually, I'm just trying to understand this number, because let's say when you look at another BPC player, which has, you know, annual subscribers equal to your monthly subscribers, their ad revenues, in my understanding, are north of 500 crores annual number. So I'm just
That's
trying
not
to
a right
comparison.
Yeah, because they are the brand advertisers.
Revenue. But I'm just trying to think. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to speak aloud. You know, maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line, can this not be a 3-digit crore number? Thanks.
But we'll get to closer to that, right? It's like
that's
what we aspire to get. But the only difference, and I've run these businesses a lot, right? In a grocery, 8 to 9% of your revenue can come from advertising. Right, because a brand, like let's say there is a noodle brand, that noodle brand is advertising on the brand, and the click through of that can directly lead into sales. So brands are, it is like modern retail where brands would do display advertising. And so we are different, right? We can't, other than Coca-Cola, we can't advertise anything where customers can click and get that instantaneously. So same thing in a BPC kind of a play, L'Oreal or Lakme or anybody will advertise upfront to drive the sale. It's a pre-order journey that they try to intercept. We are doing post-order, and again, we want to be, there is more money for sure, but we don't want to hurt the customer journey of ordering a pizza in 3 to 4 clicks and deliver that in 20 minutes. That remains sacrosanct. Everything else we will try. On post-order page, we are very confident. Minute fullness of time, it can get to 3-digit or close to that. That's what we are also aspiring for.
No, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Amit Sachdeva from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my question, Sunny. And so my question is on the margins bit. So my sense is that, if I look at the margin expansion in pre-Ind AS, which seems very impressive, and so it's a great job done. But can I sort of double click on a bit and ask whether, rental saving is now part of the equation, which seems structural, because now I think delivery is larger part of the pie. So is there some ongoing rethinking of the store happening and rental as a percentage of declining? Because I know that in the first half of this year, lease expenses from the cash flow, which I would say would be rental, is 7%. Last year, that number was 7.4. Is there a consistent saving now as part of the equation? And how sustainable that is and what the number could be? So that is point number one. And on related points, my second question would be on Popeyes, whether, in 15% growth ambition at standalone level, how much this will be contributed by Popeyes over the next 3-4 years, and how much margin at a better level would be contributed by Popeyes as well? Because I think if the journey of that is also increasing, how does one should think about that, these two pieces together?
Let me take the first one on rentals, Amit, and then I'll give Sameer's question on growth and then come back on Popeyes margins. So I think on rentals, you're absolutely right. I think you answered the question yourself. So yes, we are seeing leverage coming through on rental. Part of it coming through on account of course, scale, that we're generating more revenue. I mean, of course, a better LFL gives us the scale operating leverage going through in rental, which we have seen coming through in our pre-Ind AS numbers. Apart from that, we are also, other opportunities we are looking at, our rent per, our per square footage of our stores is on a downward trend. Again, like you rightly said, if you're hitting a 75% delivery mix now as a business, it could vary between the tiers of cities we operate in. But overall, the square footage of our stores is coming down, which will again be an additional fillip to our rental cost.
Right.
right, going forward. So I think those are the two elements that we're also very focused on. Of course, also on renegotiation. In many of the new cities and towns that we're going into, we are anchor volumes for the landlord. So we do get better deals as we enter in there, because it helps them get in more other businesses as well. So all of these three metrics we'll continue focusing on. Will there be a very big increase on the leverage coming through on rental? I don't think it's significant. Even now, it is not a significant part of that 90 bips of improvement that we are seeing. It's not like it is 60% of that comes from rental, right? So it is a component, but not a significant one. It will continue to be there. So that's on the rental part, if it answers your question. Maybe Sameer can take the Popeyes growth piece and I'll come back on
it. Yeah, I think the Popeyes, Amit, should add like 1-1.5% to growth, right? So that's the how we are building this, right, at least in the near term. And if we see more growth shoots, like green shoots, we can actually accelerate the store expansion, right? So we are not... Sure. And what are the green shoots, right? The green shoot is we should be industry leading or industry par on the average daily sales, and the gross margin should be equal or higher. Right? If these two things happen, then we know other line items can take, and I think like if Domino's is adding like 75-80 stores a quarter, there is no reason why we can't add 15-20 stores of Popeyes in a quarter, right? And most of those locations will be high street locations.
Right.
So that's where, because there are so many malls that or airports that you can get into. So that piece is remaining, and therefore this should make money. But having said that, even at scale, right, even if you look at the fried chicken players, their margins are lower than that of Domino's. So even at like in the fullness, it will be a drag compared to in terms of mix. But right now, I think we are far away from that. We want to make sure that we are getting closer to profitability at a restaurant level. We make money at the EBITDA level, and then start generating more cash from that business. So that's how we are operating. But Amit, very positive story in terms of what the team has been able to do. Differentiate in terms of bring the freshness of that in the QSR, which is with a brand like Popeyes.
So great, Sameer. Thanks so much for that. If you don't mind, is there a rough ADS that you can share, if possible, in say Bangalore, if not in all, but a typical ADS that store is getting, which you are satisfied with? And obviously there'll be a range. I don't want to ask too much of details that you don't share, but how do we make sense of it, that how ADS is evolving for this? Although the ADS, SSG looks very strong, but in terms of ADS, how it is kind of range could be?
Give us 4 months. We'll come back to you, Amit, on that one. We are very close. Let's get to 100 stores. We'll disclose everything. And like I said, our goal is to be at or market beating ADSs and gross margin, right? So we are on that trajectory, to be very honest. And many of our stores are actually operating much more than that. So I assure you that our rates are positive. We are growing in terms of ADS, SSG, and the underlying restaurant profitability. All three ticks for it. And we want to expand faster, provided the location is right. So that's our intent.
Valina, thanks so much. If I may squeeze in. Suman, this question is for you. I remember, discussing when the company level pre-Ind AS margin was standalone as well. We were talking about EBITDA margin for Domino's at 14.5 level. Now we are reaching 13.3. I assume this is largely driven by Domino's, given the dominance of the format. What could be the margin for Domino's would be like-for-like, which was 14.5, and what could be the sustainable margin that you are looking at? Assuming 15 is achievable, how one should think about Domino's margin on a standalone, basically sustainable basis?
So, Amit, I think we said that we will disclose Domino's margins once a year. We did, we do know the numbers of Domino's of FY24. We also disclosed in FY25, which is around the 14.5 range that you only spoke about, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
Let us wait a quarter and we'll give the full year margins out again on Domino's. So I don't want to comment on it right now, because you can't actually compare a 13.3. We know how quarter three is for our industry. Quarter three margins are always higher, correct, then you see that moderation in Q4. So I think it's better to compare it at a full year level. Now, coming to how should you look at it, I think our guidance has been consistent, saying that FY24 margins above that, we want to, you know, improve by about 200 bits at an EBITDA level as a company. And a significant part of that will, of course, come from Domino's margins improving and the reduction of the drag on the EBUs. At the point in time that we had disclosed our number, the drag was of Popeyes, Dunkin' and Hong's was approximately about 230-250 bits. And we should see that halving in that journey to getting to the overall margins up. So then that's the way you should triangulate it. Of course, you'll be able to do a better guess of it as we come out with the full year numbers in the subsequent quarter. Yeah.
Got it. Just to clarify, 200 above FY24, right? That's what you said?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much, Sameer. Thanks, Suman. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Aditya Soman from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. So firstly, on Popeyes, now that we're seeing sort of steady and strong performance, from when would you report this as a separate segment? Will we start getting data on this in terms of ADS and SSG and even the revenues separately?
Yeah, I think by end of like the Q1, we want to get to 100 stores. That's what we had committed earlier. Right, as soon as we get it, I would have anticipated for that to happen in Q4. It will not happen in Q4. It will happen, may happen by Q1. That's where we should start reporting the numbers.
I understand. Thanks. And then it just the journey of Popeyes, I mean, that we've seen since you've launched it to where we are now, what has led to sort of this significant improvement in SSG? But do you think that the model now is at a point where the current model is the one that you sort of roll out across the country more broadly?
Yeah, I think it's we've differentiated from the competition. So I think if you just step back, so we are three and a half year old brand. Right, we'll still be probably the fastest, if not the fastest, to get to 100 stores. And when we started, there was a playbook that the brand like had guidelines, right? They were not meant to follow it strictly, but still, when you are bringing a brand, you have no knowledge and you are therefore trying to deploy a playbook that works everywhere, i.e. 4 to 5,000 square feet stores, large flagship high street stores, right, with very heavy capex in the kitchen, large area for the kitchen, and the menu that we do not know will work for India or not. Right? So take, for example, biscuit is a very popular product in US, but that's not a biscuit that what you and I understand, right? It's kind of a cornbread or a bread which will be very, so we got in all those equipment and assuming that this is how the brand works. So we corrected, we also built our supply chain capabilities to source fresh chicken, to invest in and never ever antibiotics use chicken. So we did all of that and we also equally at the front end started to differentiate versus consumers. So Popeyes world over stand for its boldness and flavors. The Cajun the Cajun base or the Cajun flavor resonates more with Indian, and we brought more flavors to India. To give you two examples, so we looked at chicken wings and brought six variants of chicken wings with six different sauces, indicating heat, etc., and taste. Similarly, we launched seven chicken sandwiches, which are flavor burst. So I think we are taking the route where we believe this can be the most loved chicken brand in India. And I genuinely see that this to be a 250 store, 1,000 crore business in medium term and with very high profitability. And that's what we are building. That's how we are shaping the business towards. And we are one-tenth, we are getting closer to one-tenth of that journey. and we have to continuously innovate, right? What worked last year for sure will not work next year.
Oh, understand. Thank you so much for that comprehensive response. And maybe just a follow-up on this, would it at some point make sense to have a sort of common app across your platforms, just given the strength of the numbers with sort of MAUs and MTUs, particularly for Domino's? Is there a way you can also shift that to Popeyes and the other brands?
And I've looked at these models very closely, and I also launched one of the food aggregator businesses in India 5 years ago. So you need a certain threshold of brands for an app to work, right? And that threshold, in my opinion, is 20 to 25 brands per zip code. Right? Anything below that, a single app doesn't work. Just because we are Jubilant, customers will not open an app, right? And there are multiple models. As you see, there are dark kitchen models with 7-8 brands. There are, or even more. Even their own app traffic is very limited, right? So they have not been able to grow that for the very simple reasons. Customers inadvertently want more selection, and they may still choose Domino's among that 40-50 brands that they are browsing. But there is innate need to have more. At least my past experience and knowledge suggests that this is not a good investment of technology. The two brands are different, occasions are different. We've launched Popeyes' own app. It is going to be the most immersive app for burger eating and chicken eating in the world. That much I promise you. And once customers like that, we'll get great prices. Again, like the pizza box never leaves our hands, the bun never leaves our hand. We followed that same approach in Popeyes, and we are building the business with the right fundamentals and aspiring for a lot of customer love.
Thank you. In the interest of time, we'll be able to take one last question. We take the last question from Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Very quick bookkeeping questions. Are you expecting any upward revision or downward revision in your royalty expense? I vaguely remember that your franchise agreement with Domino's was due for renewal, but I don't know if it's already done. And do you have visibility in terms of, you know, next 5 years, 10 years, what your royalty for Domino's would be?
You know, I think we are not expecting any upward or downward movement. We believe we have very good rate. We have outstanding relationships. And yeah, we're all good over there.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Apar for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call and for listening patiently. For any further questions, you may reach out to the Investor Relations team of the company. You will find the recording and transcript of this call on the Investor Relations page of our website very soon. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Jubilant FoodWorks Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.